The story of John Wanamaker. Born on the outskirts of Philadelphia in July 1838, John was the eldest of six children and seemed destined to become outstanding in the world of business. His first experience consisted of odd jobs, errand boy, stock boy. He then took a position as salesman with Colonel Bennett in Tower Hall, pioneer of the retail clothing business in Philadelphia. And after a few years, John one day asked to speak to the Colonel.
Well, come in, John, come in. What have you got on your mind now?
I'm sorry, Colonel, if I've interrupted anything.
All right, all right. What do you want to see me about?
I've been with you at Tower Hall for several years now, Colonel Bennett, and I've studied the business carefully.
Yes, you're the best salesman I've got.
Then,
Well, what is it? Speak up, John.
Very well, Colonel Bennett. I'd like either a substantial increase in salary or a share in the business.
You what?
I believe I've earned it, sir.
You believe? I'm the best judge of how much you should earn, Wanamaker.
But, Colonel Bennett, you just said that I was the best salesman you had.
You see what happens when I give my clerks a little praise. Goes to their heads. They want a share in my business.
Nothing has gone to my head, Colonel. I came here to ask you for that and would have asked the same thing had you said nothing in my praise. Isn't the laborer worthy of his hire?
Yes. And now we can leave the Bible quotations out of this, Wanamaker, and you don't get either a raise or a share of my business.
Then you leave me no alternative, Colonel Bennett. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I shall open a store nearby and take your trade.
You what? And what, pray tell, are you going to use for money?
It'll take time, I know, but open a store I shall, and I promise you, Colonel Bennett, it'll be the biggest department store in the world.
Thus, John Wanamaker set the pattern of his life. And as a part of this pattern, he married lovely Mary Erringer Brown in 1860. A year later, we find John, Mary, and her brother Nathan at the Wanamaker home.
I'm asking you to become my partner in this venture, Nathan, because you're the man best fitted for the place. I want to establish a clothing store that will revolutionize the business.
Well, what have you got in mind, John?
As they are now, stores are open and closed at the owner's whims. Once an article is bought, an exchange and return of the purchase price is unheard of. Now, the public regards the merchant as an enemy, whose chief ambition is to cheat them as much as possible.
And you expect to change all that, John? Well, that's a lifetime work.
But you have your life to do it in, Nathan.
Oh, you have confidence in this plan, Mary?
Complete confidence. John plans to stabilize the hours of service, establish a school in the store for the training of employees, give the employees shorter hours and summer holidays with pay, and give the customers not only good service, but waiting rooms, the post office, a restaurant.
Now, hold on here. How much money have you got, John?
$2,000.
$2,000? And you expect to do all this? To pioneer in things that may make you the laughing stock of Philadelphia?
Well, after that, maybe they will laugh at first, but they'll come back again for the good service and continue to come back. Nathan, I'm so sure of this that I'm backing my dream with every cent of my savings. Will you do the same?
Put up $2,000 for something that sounds completely impossible, huh? Well, you've never failed yet in anything you've put your heart and soul into.
All right, I'll do it. My heart and soul's in this, all right, Nathan. It's going to be a struggle, but we'll make good. I know we'll make good.
Partners rented two floors in a building called McNeil's Folly. Even their best friends doomed the venture to failure due to the war and general business depression. But by 1869, business had so increased that Oak Hall had to be enlarged and a branch store was opened. But yet more room was needed, and Wanamaker purchased a huge pasture at 13th and Market Streets, which contained the recently deserted freight station of the Pennsylvania Railroad. When his competitors heard of this purchase, loud was the laughter. Dire were the predictions.
That green John Wanamaker's crazy.
Country is passing through a business panic. He'll be wiped out.
He can't make a store out of an old freight station.
Serve him right. Dreamers don't belong in business.
And what do you think, Mary?
Why, John, what is there to think? You've made the right move. And this new store is going beyond even your highest hopes.
Oh, dearest Mary, what a wife, what a comrade you are. You're right. This still will exceed my highest hopes. Because if there's one person in the world I couldn't fail, it's you.
The new store, called the Grand Depot, slowly arose from the humble freight station. Business grew in such leaps and bounds that by 1884, Wanamaker was forced to open another store on 9th Street and Broadway. And these two great stores saw stirring times. As the years passed, the old freight station became crowded, outmoded, and John Wanamaker saw that he must build a new store on the site. But how to do this without interrupting business? And even more important, Wanamaker decided that in this new store he was going to incorporate everything that he had ever dreamed of in a store. So he called a meeting of his board of directors and store managers.
Gentlemen, as you all know, we must expand. But what you may not know is the idea behind this expansion. This new store of ours is not only going to give our customers good service, but entertainment.
Entertainment? In business, Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, Lloyd. This store is going to be a monument to the customer. I've already discussed the plans with the architects. It's going to have a grand court, soaring 150 feet high without a break, with columns of dark green marble, balustrades of the various stores, and an organ. That's the dream of my life, to have a mighty organ in my store.
Why, you make us a laughing stock, Mr. Wanamaker.
Someone said that to me long ago, Lloyd. And it's since proved a false statement. This grand court isn't going to be the only unique feature. There'll be the Egyptian Hall, a magnificent auditorium seating 2,000 people, and a stage where 500 people can sing at one time, accompanied by a pipe organ of 3,000 pipes.
Oh, but why? Why 500 people on the stage singing at the same time?
Because my store must give beauty as well as service, Lloyd. I want to make shopping a pleasure, something to be looked forward to. Adjoining this Egyptian hall will be a Greek hall, with walls of solid mahogany, inlaid with satinwood. Then there'll be the house that Budget built, the crystal tea room, served by a vast modern kitchen, and presided over by the finest chefs I can get. On the roof, I plan an athletic field and a promenade for store employees.
Oh, it's madness, Mr. Wanamaker. And even if you build all this, how are you going to do it without stopping business, perhaps losing our trade?
I'm going to build in sections, gentlemen.
What?
Yes. While one-fourth of the old building is closed off and torn down and the new building is erected, business will continue in the other three-fourths.
Oh, nonsense. Customers won't come into a store that's full of construction noises.
Won't they? Wait and see, gentlemen. Wait and see.
I'd like 3 yards of lace, please.
What's that, madam? There's a noise that makes hearing a little difficult.
Yes, but I'd say that John Wanamaker's store if he said his town is out in the middle of the street. Such a fine man he is, and such a great store. I'm always satisfied with whatever I buy.
Mr. Wanamaker will be glad to hear that, madam. And now, what was it you wished?
3 yards of lace.
Lace? Oh, yes, that counter's over by that pile of lumber. Will you follow me, please? Watch your steps. Be careful of those loose boards.
I will. You know, Wanamaker has a talent of making shopping a pleasure, even when he tears down his store around your ears.
And thus they came as Wanamaker had said they would. And at last, on June 11th, 1910, 6 years after the first shovel full of earth had been turned, the store was completed. And standing on the roof, overlooking the full sweep of the city, with the President of the United States, William Howard Taft, beside him, John Wanamaker waits to put the capstone of the building in place.
Mr. Wanamaker, this building, with its great beauty and many artistic features, wonderful as it is but a poor monument to your success in proportion to the spiritual monument you have erected in the hearts of all who know you. And I am proud to be here on the day when the culmination of your dreams come to pass.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. My friends,
There's a half a century of business endeavor, strenuous and constant, that looks down upon us today as we, old friends and young beginners, stand together for this interesting service. The inscription on the stone reads, "This block put in place on June 11th, 1910, by John Wanamaker, marks completion of this structure, begun April 26th, 1904. Cornerstone laid June 12th, 1909. Let those who follow me continue to build with the plumb of honor, the level of truth, and the square of integrity, education, courtesy, and mutuality. John Wanamaker."
The inscription on the capstone is a fitting end to this story of John Wanamaker. Not even the glory of the business done and good accomplished by his great store, nor his activities as Postmaster General of President Harrison's cabinet, nor his great activities during the World War can reveal his sterling character more than these simple words. His large philanthropies consisted of such monuments as Bethany Church, the Wanamaker Institute of Industries, Bethany Day Nursery, the John Chambers Memorial Church, the Friendly Inn for Destitute Men. These are but few examples of a great man's great generosity. John Wanamaker, Captain of Industry.